This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul. In the last episode, we were talking about the traps of Iblis, the traps of Shaitan, about the different ways that he tries to induce and entice the children of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, to evil. And we looked at some of the traps, we looked at two traps so far, and we said there are six different ways that he tries to entice us. And what is the first lutfi, what is the first trap of Iblis that he tries to get every single person to fall into?
The first trap is kufr wa shirk.
Kufr meaning?
Polytheism is
disbelief
and
shirk.
Polytheism,
exactly. So he wants a person to fall into kufr and shirk. And this is his ultimate aim. If a person dies upon kufr and shirk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this person. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That Allah doesn't forgive that a person commits shirk with Allah, that he associate partners with Allah, but he forgives everything other than that, anything less than that, to whomsoever he will. So this is the first trap of Iblis. Muhammad, what is the second trap of Iblis?
Innovation.
In Arabic, bid'ah. And we spoke about how innovation is when a person comes and he tries to add something to the deen of Islam. To add something to the deen of Islam. And why is it that Iblis likes innovation so much?
Because the person who indulges in the innovation believes he's doing something good and therefore will not repent.
Exactly. The person won't actually repent from this innovation because he thinks he's actually doing something good. If Iblis fails and he doesn't get a person, he fails from getting a person to fall into kufr and shirk, polytheism and disbelief, and then he fails at the second trap, which is bid'ah or innovation, and if he cannot do that, then he'll go on to the second trap of Iblis. And the third trap, is the trap of major sin. And Iblis is very eager to get a person to fall into the major sins, especially if he's a scholar who is followed. Because Iblis knows, Shaitan knows that if a scholar falls into a major sin, then people will be repelled from that scholar and they'll spread his sins and disobedience among the community. So each person will start spreading the sins of the scholar. And he uses some people as his agents to spread this person's sin under the fake or the false pretense that this will help them get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if they're warning against this scholar. But in fact, this person is actually an agent of Iblis without knowing it. Because he's directing people away from the people of knowledge. And the people will say, look at the scholars, look how evil they are. And they'll refuse to take religious knowledge from all scholars. They'll paint all the scholars with the same paintbrush. But what this person, the sins of this scholar, this person, even if they reach the sky, they're less to Allah than the sins of those who like to spread the sins of the scholars. So the sins of the scholars, they're wrongdoing to himself, to the scholar himself. If he seeks forgiveness from Allah and repents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. And he will change his bad deeds into good deeds. However, the sin of those who spread about abominations, they're doing wrong to the believers by looking for their mistakes and by intending to expose them. Therefore, we should be very careful and avoid spreading the sins of people. And major sins, they include things like adultery. And adultery, as we know, when a person, he goes behind the back of his wife and he commits zina, adultery, then this is a major sin and it can lead to the ruin of families and homes. And in the same way, drinking wine and taking intoxicants, Now it's important to note that some people, they think that khamar in the Arabic language, it only refers to wine and not other intoxicants. And this is a false understanding. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu muskirin khamar." Every single intoxicant is khamar, is known as khamar. Okay, it's like a wine. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited khamar, wine, He also prohibited all the different types of intoxicants. This includes marijuana and all the anything that intoxicates, this is prohibited in Islam. In the same way, gambling as well is prohibited. It's a major sin. And likewise, disobeying the parents. And this is also a very big sin. And many people forget this and they don't understand this. And unfortunately, you even see people who are practicing, in quotes, they may pray, they may go to the masjid and these things. But when it comes to the rights of the parents, they totally forget them. They disobey the parents. And this is a major sin in Islam. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often mentions shirk, and then straight after that, disobeying one's parents. Or being bad and bad to the parents. And today's time, subhanAllah, you see even people, they shout back at their parents and scream at them and hit them. And this is totally prohibited in Islam. Now, we should realize that every person sins. But we should all strive to be the best of sinners. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu ibn Adam khatta, wa khayru al-khatta'een at-tawwabun." So we should be the best of sinners. The Prophet ﷺ said, "The all of the sons of Adam, all of the children of Adam, they sin. But the best of sinners is the one who repents." Let's look at the story who killed 99 people. Who knows the story who killed the 99 men? Brother Gulraz?
Yeah, heard of that.
Explain it.
there was a man who killed 99 people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to repent.
Mm-hmm.
But so he asked a monk,
mm-hmm,
as to what he should do. And he said there's no repentance. So then he killed him also, making 100. Mm-hmm. And then he asked somebody else. And he said, as long as you repent, you have to leave the sin and go away to a better place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he left, and on the way he died.
Mm. So what happened?
So the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment came.
Mm-hmm.
And they debated as to whether he should go to Jannah, or he should be taken by the people of mercy, angels of mercy,
mm-hmm,
or the angels of punishment.
Yeah, so they were fighting among themselves, they were arguing about who's going to take it. So what happened after that?
So they said, and they will measure the distance between...
They went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave the decision. And what you said, measuring?
Yes, yeah, so they measured the distance between the point where he died,
mm-hmm,
and the evil place that he came from.
Yeah.
And the place where he died and the place he was going to go to, the mm-hmm good place. So whichever one was shorter, whichever one he was closer to...
Then those angels will take
him.
Okay. So what actually happened? As you know, the story goes on where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually increased the distance between him and the town that he was coming from. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah. So therefore the angels of mercy took him to paradise. And this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That if a person comes out, whoever comes out as an emigrator for the sake of Allah, he goes out to make hijrah for the sake of Allah, and he dies on the way, Allah says, his ajr has already been decreed. His reward has already been decreed. And it's upon Allah. So Iblis likes a person to fall into major sin. So we can see this person he killed 100 people, and then yet even then he was forgiven for the sin. But Iblis likes a person to fall into this major sin. But what Iblis wants is that he wants the person to despair of the mercy of Allah. Because if a person gives up hope of forgiveness, he will not repent and he will continue in his sin, thinking to himself, what's the point of doing good? What's the point of giving up this sin? I've done so much evil, I can't possibly be forgiven. So I may as well continue in doing this sin. And he'll do other sins as well. And this is a great misconception. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, say, O my slaves, O my worshippers. Now, the beginning part of this ayah, Allah addresses the believers, He addresses His worshippers in this amazing, beautiful manner, in gentleness, in kindness, in a beautiful title. He says, O my worshippers, who have, and then you, when you come to this part of the ayah, you think, hey, Allah is talking to the people who, you know, who have done so much night prayer and they don't sin and this. But what does He say straight after that? O my worshippers, who have transgressed against their own selves. So He's talking to people like you and me. He's talking to people like you and us. That we, Allah says, O my slaves who have transgressed against their own selves by sinning, don't despair. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is الغفور الرحيم. He is the forgiver and the merciful. So this is amazing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there's a condition for Allah's forgiveness in the next verse. And we'll see this after the break. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
And people need each other's, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. Quran is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad is not preserved in the books only, but on the heart, in the hearts of men, in the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. Belief and trust, tawakkul, that none could take place without the knowledge of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the third trap of shaitan, or Iblis, the major sin, the trap of major sins. And Iblis, if he can't get a person to do kufr, or polytheism and disbelief, shirk, then he will move on to the second trap, which is that of bid'ah. And if not, then he'll go on to the third trap, which is that of major sin. And his objective, or his aim, is for a person to lose hope, to despair. Because every son of Adam sins, but the reality is that one should repent for that sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا Say, O my slaves who have transgressed against their own selves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. Allah is Al-Ghafoor, or the forgiver, the oft-forgiver, Al-Rahim, the most merciful. But there's a condition for Allah's forgiveness. And that is mentioned in the next verse. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ And turn back to your Lord in repentance and submit to Him. Now the scholars of Islam have said that there are four conditions of repentance. For a person to get this forgiveness after any sin that he does, he has to repent. But there are four conditions of repentance. Brother Muhammad, what are these conditions?
The first of which is to resolve never to go back to that sin again, mm-hmm. and to hate it. The second one is to actually make tawbah.
To feel remorse, to promise Allah that he'll never do it again.
Seek forgiveness.
Yeah. The third one is, what if he's doing the sin? If he's in the middle of the sin, can he repent? Or must he stop? Imagine if a person, he's doing an evil sin, he's drinking alcohol. And he's drinking away, And he says, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Of course he has to stop straight away. So these are the three conditions. There are three conditions if it doesn't involve another person. So once again, the first is stopping the sin. The person has to stop doing the sin. Secondly, he has to feel remorse. He has to feel sorry for doing that sin. He can't. How can he repent if he doesn't feel sorry for doing that sin, for disobeying Allah? The third condition is to make a firm resolve never to return to that sin again. And the fourth condition, and this only applies if a person has harmed another person's honor, his wealth, or his life, then in this case, the person must seek forgiveness from that person, from the one whom he has harmed. This is because Allah will never forgive a person until he has been forgiven by the one who has been harmed, who he has harmed. And this is a very important point. Because if a person steals from another person, he must return that good that he stole back to that person in order to seek forgiveness for that sin. In the same way, if a person has, you know, punched someone or something of this nature, then he has to seek forgiveness from Allah, but also he has to seek forgiveness from that individual. Now, if Iblis is unable to trap the person to fall into a major sin, then he moves him on to the fourth trap, and that is the trap of minor sins. Now, these sins may ruin a person totally if they accumulate. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he likened the minor sins to small sticks that a people who went to the desert and wanted to light a fire collected. So every single one of these people, they bought a stick of wood until they kindled a huge fire. So you can imagine each individual stick, it doesn't have any effect. It has a minor effect. You can, of course, it will light a fire, but a small fire. But when you accumulate all these sticks together, you can have a huge bonfire. In the same way, minor sins add up. Little sins, little by little, they add up until they become like a huge fire that destroys a person and burns a person. And the person continues to take the matter of minor sins very easily until he considers them inconsequential and he does not repent for them. And it's because of this, a person who commits a major sin but fears their effect and repents from them is in a better condition than the one who does lots and lots of minor sins but he doesn't fear their effect. Now if Iblis fails in trapping a person at this level, he moves on to the fifth level. And this is slightly more sly, and many people, they don't know this. The fifth trap is to occupy him with permissible deeds. Deeds that are permissible. Now how is this a trap? This is a trap because these permissible deeds, things that he does, they don't actually gain him any reward or punishment. In fact, the trap of Iblis here is caused because the person will miss out on the reward of doing something recommended, something more beneficial, something rewarding, an act of worship at the same time. Let's take an example. Imagine a person, he plays computer games the whole day, okay? He's missed out on reading Quran. He might be doing the obligatory prayers and these kind of things. But in his spare time, his whole time, spare time is on computer games or playing football or doing something. These acts, football and playing computer games, they're permissible. As long as they don't involve anything haram, of course, like music and these other things. But they're permissible in general. But if a person spends so long on them that he could have been reading Quran, he could have been going out helping the elderly, he could have been going visiting the sick, doing other good deeds, then he has fallen into the trap of shaitan. He's fallen into the trap of shaitan. And if Iblis fails at this level, then he moves on to the sixth level, the sixth trap. And this is that he gets the person to be occupied with good deeds. With good deeds. Okay? But how is this a trap? Because instead of doing something better, the person is doing something good. And this is how Iblis traps the person. Imagine that. Iblis orders a person to do a good action with less reward if that involves abandoning a better action. And this is a very important point that most people, they don't know. So if he orders a person to do a good action with less reward, then what that means is he's lost out on an action which is better than that. And very few people are aware of this trap, because if a person feels a strong urge to do a kind of good, a good deed, then he does not doubt. He doesn't think that he doesn't doubt that this is true obedience, and that he's actually getting closer to Allah. He never thinks that this call is actually from shaitan, because he thinks that shaitan will never call someone to do something good. So he thinks this call is from Allah. So one should be very careful in prioritizing his deeds. If the time for prayer comes, he should not neglect the prayer to, for example, give da'wah. Rather, he should go and pray first, then go back to giving da'wah. Likewise, if a person is praying his supererogatory prayers, his nawafil, instead of, like for example, his mom is telling him to do something, okay, and he ignores his mother, and he goes on to pray his nawafil. What has he done? He's fallen into this sixth trap of shaitan. Shaitan's telling him, pray this nafil prayer and ignore your mother, because he's ignoring doing something that is better. Let's take some more examples of this. Can you think of any other examples of this, where Iblis actually orders you to do something good, but you could have been doing something better? Brother Gulraz.
Maybe in terms of how you spend your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a person who hasn't performed Hajj, shaitan might get him to, instead of spending the money on Hajj, spend it on some voluntary charity, for
example.
Exactly,
that's a brilliant example. A person who it's wajib upon him to do Hajj. Okay, and this is maybe very common. And he has enough money to do Hajj, but he gives that money away in some voluntary charity. He's actually fallen into this trap of shaitan. He's lost a better deed by doing a good deed. Anything else, brother?
Like in Ramadan, some Muslims are doing everything in Taraweeh and everything, while he has to be doing other things like charity and fasting.
But Taraweeh is a very good example, because here, and this is a very common example, where people, when you see Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, empty. 2, 3, 5, 6 rows. And but then, when it comes to Taraweeh, the masjid is full.
Okay, let's go.
Shaitan has trapped these people. He's trapped them by saying, hey, come to Taraweeh. And they think that because this is, you know, so many rak'ahs, this is more rewardable than only praying 2 rak'ahs of Fajr, for example. So they'll rather pray Taraweeh than Fajr. It's a good thing to pray Taraweeh. It's a good thing. We're not saying don't pray Taraweeh. But the point here is don't miss out the obligatory things in favor of these voluntary things. Now, if Iblis fails, even at this level, he fails in trapping the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any of these 6 levels, he calls upon all the other people and traps them into calling that particular servant of Allah, who Iblis has failed to misguide. He starts telling them, call him an innovator, call him misguided. And he makes them warn people against his character assassinating him. He does all this intending to weaken him and to disturb his heart. By using this method, Iblis tries to confuse the person's thinking and tries to prevent people from benefiting from him. So he expends his utmost effort to cause rumors about the person and lies and slander against him. And this is what the polytheists of Quraysh did to the Prophet ﷺ. They called him a liar, a soothsayer, a magician, a madman, a poet, possessed by a jinn, and so on. But the Prophet ﷺ persevered and continued to worship Allah, avoiding these traps of shaitan. So the believer is at war with shaitan until he dies. He has to always struggle upon the right path of Islam, upon the straight path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to be steadfast upon the straight path and to allow us to die upon firm iman and to avoid all of the traps of shaitan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.